Well, joining us this morning is Dr. Theo Ross. He's a professor of theater here at Northwest Missouri State, and also a survivor, I suppose you could say, of the Great Fire of 1979.
That's right, the Great Fire.
Yeah. Were you, just explain the day. It happened of an evening, of course, but were you called at home? Did you come in? What happened?
I did. Now, I had been working on campus most days throughout the summer on my dissertation, and as well as preparing for the next year's classes, that sort of thing. That evening I had gone home, and sometimes I worked in the evening as well. That evening I had gone home and I took some material with me. That's part of a story you may want to ask about later. But I was at home and got a phone call from another faculty member saying, you know, there's smoke on campus. I lived very close to campus, so I looked out my window and sure enough, there it was. Being curious and concerned, I went up. When I saw it was in the administration building where our offices were located, of course, I was very concerned. And then when I saw specifically where the smoke was or heard where the fire was, we knew it was going to be a serious problem for us. So that's the way I knew, both by phone call and then visually by seeing it.
Sure, because at that time it was the theater was part of the administration building, your
correct
department.
Yeah. We had, in fact, we had two performance spaces. One, the very large Dear Wester Auditorium that was being remodeled at the time. And below that, on the first floor of the administration, a lot of people don't remember that, there was a small studio theater that had been converted over the years from a girls' gym and a classroom and some other things we were using as a studio theater. And then the faculty offices for theater with speech were located on the fourth floor of the administration building, way up on top and back in one of the wings.
Okay. But besides the faculty offices, some of the administration, of course, being the ad building and the theaters, it seems like for those who weren't here back then, that really was the heart of campus. That's what I keep hearing.
Absolutely. It was the heart and the hub. We had classrooms there. Of course, the radio and TV studios were there. Offices for a number of departments were located there, and virtually all of the administration. So it was a very busy building. It was packed full of all sorts of activities, and that's why it was such a huge concern, and then ultimately such a gigantic loss to the entire institution, not just to selected programs or people.
And people being you, that's the story. You referenced earlier you'd taken some materials home because you were in the middle of a dissertation, but that's kind of your history with the fire, right?
Correct. Yeah. I had just finished my first year here, so I was a new faculty member, fresh out of graduate school. I had my dissertation researched and mostly written, so I was in the final stages at that time of completing it and was going to submit it at the end of the summer, I thought. And that's what I had been doing days and evenings in my office. But I decided not to work that night, I guess. Thankfully, but unthankfully, I always think back that maybe if I had been there, I could have noticed the fire myself a little earlier and done something. But I did go home, and I took a copy of my dissertation home. And of course, in those days, everything was hard copy. We didn't have computers, so I couldn't just stick a disk or a thumb drive in my pocket. So I took a copy home. And that's what remained then after the fire, because my office and everything in it was completely destroyed.
Sure, yeah. Did you come to campus then during the event?
The fire?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I think just about everybody in town was there. It seemed like it. At first, we stood around, didn't know what to do. Several people then began organizing things, George English and the president, Owens, and some other folks, Bob Henry. Realized that we might be able to get some things out of the building, at least on the first floor before the fire got down. Because by that time, I think they had realized that the fire started way up on top. So a group of us, not identified by any particular criteria, we were just standing around, and we saw people talking, and we joined the conversations. Well, let's go in and see what we can get. So a group of us did go into the building, not anywhere near the fire, but on the first floor, started to get rid of files, toss them out of windows, and carry them out, load them into trunks of cars and backs of trucks and things, and get them away if we could, or as far as we could, from the fire. Then, after we were forced to leave and no one was allowed in the building, we all just stood around and watched it go.
Yeah. Because was the hope lost? The community was just thinking it's a total loss?
Or? I think that's what we thought at the time.
Yeah.
Of course, and that was reinforced by the fact that it took quite a while to get enough equipment here to fight the fire. Of course, again, one of the stories is Maryville didn't have at the time any equipment that could get to the top of the building or put water on it. So we had to wait for one of those big trucks to come from St. Joseph. Another truck that did show up got stuck in the front of the building. That's a great story as well that's told and retold, how it got stuck in the mud because we had just removed a circle drive that went in front of the building. Mm-hmm. And so that was virtually fresh sod, and we had to get that truck out too, literally lifting a fire truck and moving it to get it into position. And then when the back of the building where the theater was collapsed and that huge fireball went up, why, I think we all believed at the time it was lost. So we were thankful in many ways after it was over, and we got a report that there were still some things that could be salvaged and saved. And of course, the main thing is that the core, the shell of the building was still there. So we were able to physically as well as procedurally rebuild the building.
Sure. And explain that, just the few days following, just a huge effort as far as what, cleaning up the building, taking out the rest of the files. What was the mood like in the days following?
Well, the mood was concern, I think, not so much about the material. I mean, we couldn't get in. We were not allowed to go into or near the building for quite some time, literally. Finally, I did go in with a couple of administrators who allowed me to see where the office was and, you know, that sort of thing, just for impact. But the job of cleaning up the site and removing equipment material, that was designated to either university employees who were trained to do that or professionals. The rest of us, I think, were concerned not only about our specific programs, but literally the future of the institution. Of course, Northwest was a very strong school, but not in not with the position or the respect or the status that it has today. And in those days, it could have very easily occurred to the state, you know, here's a chance to close down a school. It was a huge, huge loss. Yeah. And thankfully, I think because of such things as a reputation of the state, the alumni who contacted people down at Jefferson City, our representatives who stood up for us, and the governor personally who came to visit, and then the enormous efforts of Bob Owens and the rest of the administration, who simply said, look, this is what we still have, and we can build upon this. You know, now's not the time to cut back. Now's the time to rebuild. But you never know if they're going to buy that. We all know now, of course, they did, and from that we have all the building on campus. We just started a boom or a progression then after the fire that has stood us in excellent stead today.
Sure, and explain that legacy, because from the ashes, so what, three new buildings, two new buildings, and a remodel?
Oh, gosh, I guess specifically Owens Library was built, and that then Wells Hall, the old library, has been used for several purposes, of course, since then. The Performing Arts Center was a direct outcome of that, as was Wells Hall. And when you start looking at how things have been shifted around or leapfrogged or built upon and remodeled in order to provide space for other buildings, it's not just that we have some of these new buildings that have come out of the fire, but the whole complexion of the campus, the structure of the campus has changed or rearranged, and the individual parts, I think, have been strengthened, if not replaced or built new. And so we have added, plus we have developed the infrastructure since that fire.
Sure. So is it fair to say that it created a kind of a cultural change, a legacy that continues today?
I think absolutely. The physical change, the cultural change, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I think it did kind of give a boost to what we had felt already about Northwest, you know, the strength of the community. And by that, I mean the academic community as well as the local civic community. People pulling together, working together, people saying, let's take something that could have been harmful or a problem for us and turn it into a positive. That's part of what Northwest had before, but not nearly as strong as it does now. And I think that's what we do today. You know, we see adversity or we see problems, and we say, well, what can we do with this? Let's turn it into something positive. Let's make it work for us. So, yes, and that is part of the Northwest culture. You're absolutely right. And I guess the fire did contribute to that, if not create it, you know.
Sure. Well, Dr. Ross, thank you for joining us and remembering the massive part of Northwest history.
My pleasure, Kirk. Always.